إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray. And whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that he has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we'd like to continue in this, our fifth session, from the book Maqasid al-Hajj, that is, the goals and objectives of the pilgrimage, yani those things which one should be striving to achieve during the performance of the Hajj. And the author, Shaykh Abdul Razak, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad Al-Badr, Hafidhahum Allah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them, in this brief presentation has mentioned a number of very, very fundamental and important goals or objectives that a person performing Hajj should be seeking to achieve, to realize, to attain during the performance of the pilgrimage. And we could say that most of these goals or objectives should also be the goals and objectives of a Muslim throughout our lives. Before we look at the topic, the two goals or objectives that we want to mention today, the eighth and the ninth goals and objectives of the pilgrimage, we want to review quickly what we covered last week from the questionnaire study guide number 4. The first question being, list the first 7 maqasid, goals or objectives of Hajj, in the order mentioned by the author. The first 7. Yani, somebody give us a few of them, and let's try to help each other. Yani, naam. First thing he begins with, naam, number 1. Tahqiq al-Tawheed. The realization of al-Tawheed. This is absolutely the most important goal of the pilgrimage, or any Muslim in our lives, right? Second of them. Naam, Mustafa. Naam, being successful in trying to achieve the pleasure of Allah. Naam, third one. Musa. The realization of a taqwa. Of taqwa Allah. Naam. That's 3. 4. Iqamatu dhikrillah. Yani the establishment of the remembrance of Allah. Naam. Number 5. Strengthening Iman. Taqwiyatul Iman. Number 6. That we had last week, huh? Ta'amiq al-istijaba lillahi. Naam. Wal-imtithal li-amrihi. Naam. Wal-inqiyad li-shar'ihi. What do we mean by this? Ta'amiq al-istijaba lillah. The deepening one's responsiveness. Yani the responsiveness that's in your heart, in your soul. Your desire, your ability to respond to the call of Allah. Deepening. Yani making that responsiveness, that desire, that yani impulse, that urge, to make it deep rooted in your heart and in your soul. Not something on the surface, a surface response, rather that it comes from the heart and from the soul. Naam. And the last of them, number 7, naam, Ahmed. We said Al Fawz bi Ridha Allah, second one, naam. Naam. Witnessing the great magnificent benefits of Hajj. Yani witnessing them meaning what? Yani meaning here he said liyashhadu in the Quran. He said it means what? Liyahduru or liyahsul. Yani al-husul ala al-manafi' al-azima. The second mention, the action of the pilgrim, the Hajj, the person performing Hajj. Mention the action of the pilgrim wherein the 6 maqsid, the 6 goal or objective of Hajj stands out the most? Yani, what action of the pilgrim, Ahmed? A talbiya. Meaning, what do we mean by talbiya? What is talbiya? It's the Arabic word. The what? The dhikr, naam. The dhikr, the words that are recited, the call that are recited by the pilgrims throughout the Hajj. Yani, from the time they enter Ihram until they reach Mecca and so on. Naam. The words that are recited, yani, containing these words, labaik Allahumma labaik, like this. Naam. That this is the action that stands out most in reference to this maqsad, the maqsad of what? Ta'amik al-istijaba lillah. Yani, deepening one's responsiveness to Allah. Yani, the action that stands out most in reference to this is the recitation of at-talbiyah. The repetition of at-talbiyah. Mention the key expression of the talbiyah, the key word in the talbiyah as it relates to the sixth maqsad, with the author's explanation of its meaning. With the author's explanation of its meaning. What is the key expression? Abu Sa'id. Labaik. Labaik. That's the key expression in the talbiyah, right? And what is the, somebody else tell me, what is the author's explanation of the meaning of this labaik? Labaik Allahumma labaik. What is the meaning of this? Naam.
This word is mentioned four times.
It's mentioned four times, naam.
And also this word is it's a word of responsiveness.
A word of responsiveness. Yani, it means that I'm responding, answering, so complying. Naam.
Ana mustajibun laka ya Allah.
Uh-huh.
Mumtathilun li amrika munqadun li shar'ik.
Now, somebody help us in English. What does this mean? What did he say? This means what? And when a person says labbaik Allahumma labbaik, it means what? I am responding to your call, O Allah. I am responding to your call, and I am mumtathilan, available in compliance, yani in compliance with your command, and also yani munqad. Munqad means yani inqiyad. A person surrenders. Yani they willingly surrender to the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani, the person is saying, in other words, the shaykh said, that you have invited me to perform pilgrimage to your house, and I have answered saying, here I am, at your command, O Allah, at your command. Naam. Labaik Allahumma labaik. So if a person understands this simple meaning, and really, I say simple meaning because simple in the sense they're easy to understand. Ana mustajibun laka ya Allah. That's easy to understand. That I am in compliance, that I am in surrender to your command. That's easy to understand. If a person understands that and recites this expression, these words of talbiyah over and over and over again while they are in these sacred places, in Mecca and in Mina and in Arafat and Muzdalifah, performing these sacred rites. If a person is reciting that in those places, performing those acts, it has to have an effect on a person's heart, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, if their heart is alive. And if their heart is dead, then that's different. If the heart is sick, and it depends on the condition of his sickness, right? Question number four. Mention the ayah of Quran in response to which the pilgrim is reciting the talbiyah. What is the ayah of the Qur'an that this talbiyah that the pilgrim is reciting is in response to? Which ayah of the Qur'an? This ayah is, we're at in the Qur'an, 22nd surah, 27th ayah. Which ayah is it? Who memorized this ayah? Fadlu. Naam. The person, yani, this, the response is to the saying of Allah, وَأَذِّن فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ. Announce to the people, call the people to perform the pilgrimage to the house. And they will come to you on foot and on every lean camel from every distant place, from every direction, from every, yani, place in the earth. Yani, this is the ayah where Allah is commanding that the call to Hajj be announced to the people, and then the people who go for the pilgrimage, they're saying, we are responding to that call. Here I am, Allah, in compliance to your invitation to perform the Hajj to your ancient sacred house. Memorize the dalil or evidence from the Sunnah for the legislation of raising the voice in the recitation of the talbiyah. Naam, a dalil from the Sunnah that shows the legislation. Naam, Ahmed, of raising the voice with talbiyah.
قال يا محمد امر اصحابك فليرفعوا اصواتهم في التلبيه فانها من شعائر الحج.
نعم يعني that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said جاءني جبريل, يعني the angel جبريل عليه السلام came to me and he said to me, O Muhammad, command your companions to raise their voices with the recitation of the Talbiyah. For indeed this Talbiyah is from the Sha'air of Hajj, yani it's from the yani religious acts or ceremonies or yani the signs and symbols, the manifestation of Islam in the Hajj. Yani of this yani act of pilgrimage is manifested in this Talbiyah. And question number 6, not only does the recitation of Talbiyah affect the one reciting it, but it also affects the creation around him. Explain. What is meant here? Naam, Abu Sa'id. Yeah, Abu Sa'id, help me a little bit, because you know my hearing is poor and this air conditioner is right over me and it's blasting in my ears. Naam. Naam, yani the hadith mentioned concerning this is a clear indication what that even inanimate things and animals and so on, that they are aware, they are conscious of things that happen in the creation, and that they yani know, that they know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they know His yani tawheed, the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the tawheed of His that and kamal al-sifat and the perfection of Allah's characteristics. Yani what is the hadith that this yani this explanation that he mentioned here is connected to? Naam. The hadith of Sahal, naam.
مدرن حتى تنقطع الأرض منها هنا
وها هنا. I don't know in the book, they have ها هنا twice or only once. Okay, now in the yeah, ها هنا وها هنا. Yani that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that ma min muslim yulabbi, there is no Muslim that recites this talbiyah except that whoever or whatever is on his right or on his left will also begin to recite the talbiyah. And the scholars say this recitation of whatever is on his right and his left is real recitation, yani speech, even though the speech of the animals and the plants and the inanimate things are not understood by us, but it's understood by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That everything on that person's right and on the left begins to recite the talbiyah. Yani whether it is stones or whether it is trees or whether it is yani this clots of mud or clay, whatever is in the creation begins to recite it until it spreads through the earth, yani to the east and to the west. Min hahuna wa hahuna, yani from the east to the west, meaning all over the whole earth, everything in the creation is responding to this talbiyah. And this is a proof that the recitation of talbiyah not only affects the person who recites it with sincerity, sincerely for the sake of Allah, understanding the meaning of what they are saying and believing it. And the person has to understand what they are saying. They have to know what's the meaning of what you're saying. How often are people saying something, reciting dhikr, dua or something, and we don't know the meaning of it? But a person has to know the meaning of what they're saying. And they have to believe it in their heart. And then they have to say it with sincerity. With sincerity for the sake of Allah alone. No doubt this will affect them. But not only affects them, it affects everything in the creation around them. Question number 7, discuss the greatest benefit of the repetition of the talbiyah upon the pilgrim during Hajj and after the Hajj. During Hajj and after the Hajj. Naam. Fadl. Go ahead. Naam, it causes this responsiveness, yani this desire or inclination or impulse to respond to Allah to become deep-rooted. Yani the constant repetition of this by the person who understands the meaning, who believes in it and recites it sincerely, it causes the responsiveness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command to become deep-rooted in the heart of the individual. Especially if we understand that what? That how can a person respond to the call of Allah to perform Hajj and then not respond to that, to the call to that which is greater than Hajj, like the Salat, which is greater than Hajj. Naam, or the Siyam, and so on. How can a person yani respond to Allah's call to perform Hajj and then return home and go throughout their life without responding to the call of Allah to that which is greater than this? To the call of Allah to fulfill His commands and to avoid His prohibitions and to distance oneself from that which is displeasing to Allah. How can one not respond to that after this call has become deep rooted in their heart and in their soul? And this is why we find that many people, not everyone, but many people, when they return from Hajj, they really return different. They return a different person. Their behavior, their character, their manners, their life becomes different. It doesn't happen for everyone, but it certainly happens for people, and some of us may have seen this. Now, after this, question number 8 discussed a linguistic point explained by the author in the words لِيَشْهَدُوا مَنَافِيَ لَهُمْ in the Quran 22nd, Surah 28th, Ayat. A linguistic yani point explained by the author. And he mentioned two linguistic points. Somebody give us one of them. Naam, Musa. Manfa, naam. Manafi is the plural of manfa, naam, which?
And also, it's indefinite.
He said that it's indefinite. It's indefinite. And its indefiniteness
shows that it has a lot of benefits and differences.
Shows that these benefits that are referred to here, that they are many. Naam. He said that they are what? Ta'addud. Ta'addud meaning that they are the plurality, multiplicity of it. And also, tanawwa. Yani that it is a variety, diversity of different types of benefits. And he also said kathra. Yani that they are many, that they are plentiful, that they are abundant. So this, yani tankir of the word, yani indicates all of these things. Naam. And another benefit that the Shaykh mentioned, naam. Lama ta'aliyah, where? Liyashhadu. The lama ta'aliyah, he said that this indicates that this is a what? Amrun maqsood. That to benefit, to receive, to attain the benefits of Hajj is something intended by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not by accident that you just happen to get some benefits. Rather, Allah intended this. This amrun maqsood. And Allah intended this. And what indicates that? لِيَشْهَدُوا مَنَافِيَ لَهُمْ. That Allah said, لِيَشْهَدُوا يعني بِمَعْنَى what? لِيَهْدُرُوا. يَشْهَدُوا mean to be present for them. لِيَحْصُلْ يعني to achieve them, to attain these benefits. Allah intended. يعني this is connected to the beginning of the ayat. What? وَأَذِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ. Allah said, announce, proclaim to the people the performance of Hajj. And in the end of it, He said, what? لِيَشْهَدُوا مَنَافِيَ لَهُمْ in order for them to attain, to receive these great benefits that are for them. And the last question mentioned three categories of benefits mentioned by the author, which the pilgrim should be eager in seeking. Three categories of benefits. Three categories of benefits. Naam. One category. Naam. Okay. Forgiveness of sins. Naam. Another category of benefits. Rewards of Hajj, the rewards, the great rewards that a person receives from Hajj, and there are multiple rewards. And another benefit? Huh? The lessons that a person learns from the experience of performing Hajj. This is what we covered, and these are some of the main points that we covered last week and tonight. Bismillah ta'ala. Yani, as the time is getting, yani the time for Maghrib is getting earlier and earlier, and the time is short, so let us hasten quickly to yani what remains. And tonight, al-maqsid al-thamin, the eighth goal or objective of Hajj, the Shaykh says, at-tadhkiru bihal al-anbiya. Yani being reminded of the condition or state of the prophets. What was the condition or state of the prophets? Yani what kind of condition were they in? What was their hal? Certainly not the condition of the ordinary people, right? And this performance of Hajj reminds us in many ways of the hal, the condition or state of the Anbiya of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. The Shaykh says, min maqasid al-hajj al-azimah, tadhkir bihal al-anbiya, wa sir rusulillah azza wa jalla, salawatullah wa salamu alayhim ajma'in. That from the objectives, the great and magnificent goals and objectives of the pilgrimage is to be reminded of the condition of the prophets and the lives of the messengers of Allah Azza wa Jalla, may the salat and salam of Allah be upon them all. And then the Shaykh says, well, Hajj مليء بالمواقف والمشاعر والشعائر العظيمة التي يذكر المؤمنين بأنبياء الله بأنبياء الله. يعني ذات ها نعم تذكر نعم نعم المواقف ومشاعر والشعائر العظيمة التي تذكر نعم. That the Hajj is full, Jazakallah khair, of يعني stopping places or sites and mashair, monuments and sha'ir, rites or acts, great يعني places that a person will stop over in during the Hajj, and monuments or sacred places of Hajj and acts which tudhakkiru, naam, those things tudhakkiru, right? Because this is jam, huh? Li, what? غير عاقل. So it should be treated like it is feminine, singular. Naam. تذكر. تذكر. Which remind the believers. These things, the Hajj is full of these things, which remind the believers of the prophets of Allah. So this blessed earth, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has honored us to travel through it. From Mash'ar ila Mash'ar, from one sacred monument to another. Wa min mansiq ila mansiq, from one rite of the rites of Hajj to another. هذه الشعائر والمناسك خطاها قبلنا رسول الله وأنبياءه صلوات الله وسلامه عليهم. يعني these places and these rites or acts of Hajj have been traveled before us by the messengers and the prophets of Allah, may the salat and salam be upon them all. Yani these places and these yani rites have been performed by the prophets and messengers before us. And this is indicated in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, reported by Al-Hakim al-Mustadrak and al-Tabrani fil Mu'jam al-Kabir from Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, and Shaykh al-Bani in Sahiha, Silsila al-Hadith al-Sahiha, said that it is Hasan. Yani the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's a lengthy hadith, the part that he mentions yani as the shahid, salla fi masjid al-khayfi 70 nabiyyan, that 70 prophets of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam prayed in Masjid al-Khayf. Masjid al-Khayf is a very famous masjid that is in Mina, and it's near the smallest Jamara. And that masjid, of course, today it is rebuilt and it is enlarged and expanded and it's tremendous. But there was a masjid there and in Mina, and that masjid, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that 70 prophets of Allah prayed in it. 70 prophets of Allah salawatullah wa salamu alayhim prayed there. So before you, in this act of obedience to Allah, there came to these blessed lands the choice, the best of the worshippers of Allah, that is the prophets of Allah, came performing these acts of obedience even before us. So a person should call to mind and feel and be conscious and aware of this. Or this yani causes the person, yani this consciousness or this awareness, to عَمِّكُ فِي قَلْبِكَ إِرْتِبَاتِكَ بِأَنْبِيَاءِ اللَّهِ وَسَيْرَكَ عَلَى مَنْهَجِهِمْ وَقَفْوَكَ أَثَرَهُمْ. Yani so this should cause the person, yani this awareness, this consciousness of the fact that the prophets and messengers of Allah came before us to these places performing these acts, this should be a means of deepening in your heart your tie to, or your connection to, the prophets of Allah, and you're traveling upon their way, following in their example, following their steps. And this is as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran and Surah Al-An'am, 6th Surah and 90th Ayat. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ هَدَى اللَّهِ, these are those whom Allah has guided. Meaning, yani in the previous ayat, Allah mentions many of the prophets of Allah by name, and he says at the end of them, أُولَٰئِكَ, yani referring to the prophets who were mentioned before, they are those whom Allah has guided. They are the people of guidance, of right guidance. فَبِهُدَاهُ مُقْتَدِي, so therefore, follow in their guidance. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding the prophets sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this ayat yani to follow the guidance, the example of the prophets who came before him. And Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, mentions, yani in brief, that if this was the command of Allah to the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to the Messenger of Allah, then likewise, yani the Ummah of Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, must also follow suit and following the Prophets and the Messengers before us, as we're doing in the performance of pilgrimage. So this is a great reminder that comes to you in every act from the acts of pilgrimage. Yani in every act of the act of pilgrimage, there's some kind of a reminder that helps us to think about, yani, or to realize that, yani, this was the way of the prophets and messengers, alayhi salam, before us. And the Shaykh, he mentions here, yani, I think 6 points, from many points, from some of the main aspects of the pilgrimage that remind us of the condition, the hal of the prophets and messengers before, alayhi salam. And from the first of them, he said, وَإِذَا جَئْتَ إِلَى بَيْتِ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّكَ تَذْكُرْ أَنَّ الَّذِي قَامَ عَلَى بِنَاءِ الْبَيْتِ هُمَا خَلِيلُ الرَّحْمَنِ إِبْرَهِيمُ وَإِبْنُهُ إِسْمَعِيلُ عَلَيْهُمَ السَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. Yani when a person came to the house of Allah, meaning the Kaaba, then that person should be reminded that of the one who built the house, yani who raised the foundations of the house, and that is the Khalil al-Rahman, the friend of al-Rahman, that is Ibrahim and his son Ismail, alayhim as-salatu wa-salam. Yani we should be reminded when we came to the Kaaba of Ibrahim alayhi salam and his son, and they are raising the foundations of the Kaaba, as we are yani commanded by Allah to remember them in the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Baqarah, 2nd Surah, 127th Ayat, وَإِذْ يَرَفَعْ إِبْرَهِيمُ الْقَوَاعِدَ مِنَ الْبَيْتِ وَإِسْمَعِيلُ رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا. وَإِذْ, yani the meaning, وَذْكُرْ, yani remember when, yani Ibrahim and his son Ismail were raising the foundations of the Kaaba, yani the foundations of the Kaaba, yani meaning that which it is built upon, and the walls of the Kaaba, as some of the yani scholars have mentioned. Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di says concerning this ayat, remember, إِذْ يَرْفَى إِبْرَاهِيمُ الْقَوَاعِدُ مِنَ الْبَيْتِ وَإِسْمَعِيلُ, remember how they, what was their condition, the condition of Ibrahim and Ismail, of fear, al-khawf, and al-raja, of hope. Yani, while they were building the Kaaba, what was their condition? Of fear of Allah, and hope of the reward of Allah, such that, even with this great act that they were doing, they feared that it might not be accepted, so they supplicated to Allah to accept it from them. Yani, when a person is doing any act of worship, they should fear that maybe it's not going to be accepted. So they feared, so what? They asked, رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا, yani accept this great act, so that the benefit, yani, will be general, yani will be spread to all of the people, other people will also benefit from this house, yani, that they were establishing for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second place that the Shaykh mentions, وَإِذَا انْتَهَيْتَ مِنَ التَّوَافِ اتخذت من مقام إبراهيم عليه الصلاة والسلام مصلى. قال الله عز وجل واتخذوا من مقام إبراهيم مصلى. And when a person finishes from performing the tawaf, the circumambulation of the Kaaba, and then they take the maqam of Ibrahim, the station of Ibrahim, as a place of prayer, as a musalla, then they should be reminded, and this is, yani, mentioned in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah, 2nd Surah, 125th Ayat, where Allah commands us, وَاتَّخِذُوا مِن مَقَامِ إِبْرَهِيمَ مُصَلَّى, and take the station of Ibrahim as a place of prayer. And here, yani, most of the scholars said that, yani, the majority of scholars said that the general meaning of Maqam Ibrahim, it means that place, that stone that is opposite the door of the Kaaba, that Ibrahim a.s. stood upon in building the Kaaba. This is what is well known. However, Ibn Kathir mentions that it has also been said in its narrative from Mujahid and Afar, that the Maqam Ibrahim means the Haram Kulluhu. The whole of the Haram is the Maqam Ibrahim. And Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, says, وَقِيلَ الْحَجْ كُلُّهُ, that the whole of the Hajj is the maqam of Ibrahim, meaning the two prayers that you pray at Arafat, and yani what is performed at Mashar al-Haram and in Mina, and the stoning of the Jamarat, and the tawaf between yani the tawaf around the Kaaba, and the sa'i between Safar and Marwa, yani that all of this is included yani in what is mentioned here, wattakhidhu min maqam Ibrahim musalla, meaning yani all of these places and all of these acts that Ibrahim alayhi salam yani performed. And similar to this meaning was mentioned also by Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di. He said, فَيَعُمُّ جَمِيلْ مَقَامَةِ إِبْرَهِيمْ فِي الْحَجِ, yani that this meaning could include generally all of the places of standing or of worship, yani the acts, the rituals of Hajj performed by Ibrahim during the pilgrimage. The third place that the Shaykh mentions, when you are drinking from Zamzam and you are making sa'i between As-Safar and Al-Marwa, that this should remind you of the story of Hajra. That, yani, tilka al-mar'atu al-mu'minatu al-sadiqatu al-mutawakkilatu ala Allahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani, when a person drinks from Zamzam, and when they are walking back and forth between the two mountains of As-Safar and Marwa, this should remind a person of the story of Hajar. Yani, that believing woman, truthful woman, yani a woman who was putting her trust totally in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is when Ibrahim alayhi salam came with her to this land, and he intended to leave and leave her there in a valley that didn't contain any vegetation. That woman and her infant child alone, yani Ibrahim alayhi salam was going to leave them there, and she said, "Man amaraka أن تضعني بأرض ليس فيها ضرع ولا زرع ولا أنيس ولا زاد ولا ماء." Yani, who has commanded you to leave me in this land which doesn't contain any cattle or any vegetation, nor anyone yani to keep company, nor any provisions, nor any water? Who has commanded you to leave me here? وقال إبراهيم ربي أمرني, my Rabb has commanded me. And she said, فَإِنَّهُ لَنْ يُضَيِّعَنَا لَنْ يُضَيِّعَنَا. Then indeed, yani if it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has commanded you, then He will not yani leave us, He will not abandon us, He will not let us to be lost, to be wasted, to be destroyed. And this narration is mentioned by Ibn Jarir, Imam al-Tabari, in his tafsir of the Quran from Abdullah ibn Abbas. And after this, yani the Shaykh, he says, so she remained alone in that place. Yani this believing woman who put her trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until اشتدَّ بِهَا الْعَطَشِ وَخَافَتْ عَلَىٰ وَلِيدِهَا مِنَ الْحَلَاقِ. Yani until the thirst yani became severe, and she feared for her baby of being destroyed. And she climbed up to the mountain of As-Safar looking for water. And she went, yani between the mountain of Al-Marwa, yani between Safar and Marwa, searching for water and coming back to As-Safar. And she descended to the bottom of the valley, and she hastened and made extra effort in running back and forth, yani searching for water and climbing on the mountains, looking, I'm adding here, because yani some of the narrations mentioned that she was climbing on the mountain, looking to see if there was anybody yani who could help them. ثُمَّ أَذِنَ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى لِأَنْ يَنْبُعَ مَعُ زَمْزَمْ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded that the water of Zamzam flow, that it come forth, that it spring forth from the earth. And then she remained from that time, or it remained, that is the water of Zamzam, it remained from that time as a blessed water. And it has been narrated concerning the excellence or the superiority or the virtues of this water in the hadith of Abi Dhar Tawil, and the long hadith of Abi Dhar Al-Ghaffari radiallahu anhu, reported in Sahih Muslim and in other books, yani the story of his yani conversion to Islam, when he came to Islam. And it's a long, very, very long hadith. It's narrated in a lot of the books of hadith, and it's also narrated in a lengthy narration in Sahih Muslim. And in it, it contains these words, إِنَّهَا مُبَارَكَةٌ إِنَّهَا ta'amun tu'min. Yani, that, yani Abu Dhar radiallahu anhu, he said that indeed it is blessed, yani a blessed water. Indeed, it is a food, yani that relieves hunger. And in the narration of Abu Dawud al-Tayalisi, yani not al-Sijistani, the Shaykh Abu Dawud, the Imam of Hadith, Abu Dawud al-Tayalisi in his Musnad, with the Isnad of Imam Muslim, he had extra words in his narration that said, وَشِفَاعُ سُقْمٍ should be, instead of saqa, should be suqmin, as it came in all the narrations of Hadith from the different books of Hadith. Yani that indeed this water is a blessed water, and it is a food, yani nourishment, it relieves hunger, and it is a healing that relieves sickness. And in this story, yani in some of the narrations of this story, it came in Sahih Muslim like this and in other books, yani of interesting note that yani in this long hadith, yani Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, he was asked, how long was he there? Yani in the haram, he said that I was there for 30 days between day and night. And some narrations said more or less than that. So they said to him, فَمَنْ كَانَ يُطْعِمُكَ who was feeding you during this time? And he said, مَا كَانَ لِي تَعَامٌ إِلَّا مَاءُ زَمْزَمْ yani that I had no food except the water of Zamzam. And that's when he said, indeed it is Mubarak. Mubarakah, it is a blessed water. It is a food or a nourishment for hunger, and it is a healing for sickness. And even though the time is short, yani this is tremendous benefit that Shaykh Al-Albani mentions in Irwa al-Ghalil. He narrates from, and yani he reports, he conveys from Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah, from Zad al-Ma'ad, yani a statement he said concerning this narration, yani talking about its yani authenticity. He said that the hadith is hasan, but what's more important than that, he said that Ibn al-Qayyim said, قَدْ جَرَرْتُ أَنَا وَغَيْرِي مِنَ الْإِسْتِشْفَاءِ بِمَاءِ زَمْزَمْ أُمُورًا عَجِيبًا that I myself have experienced, I tested and tried it, I and others, yani who drunk the water of Zamzam for healing and found yani many amazing matters. Indeed, he said, I was healed by it from a number of sicknesses, iddatul amrad. I was freed from them, from those sicknesses, bi-idhnillah. Notice that he said what? The tawheed, bi-idhnillah. And if there is no healing except from Allah. La shifa illa shifa'uka, wa la shafa illa anta, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani he said, and I was healed from many sicknesses, bi-idhnillah, by the permission of Allah. And I have witnessed من يتغدى بها أيام ذوات العدد. And I have witnessed people who were nourished by Zamzam water alone for days, number of days. قريبا من نصف شهر, nearly half of a month, or more than that. ولا يجد جوعا, and they didn't find any hunger. ويطوف مع الناس كعادهم, and they would make tawaf with the people like the rest of the people, even though I had eaten no food for 15 days or 20 days or 30 days. And they informed me that perhaps they remained in this condition for 40 days. وَكَانَ لَهُ قُوَّةٌ يُجَامِعُ بِهَا أَهْلَهُ and that person was strong enough to have relations with their wife and to fast and to make tawaf over and over and over again. And this is tremendous to me. And if a person reflects upon this, this is tremendous. This is the blessed water of Zamzam. And it has also been narrated concerning the excellence of virtues of Zamzam in the hadith of Jabir radiallahu anhumah, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, marfu'an, attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which he said, ma'u Zamzam lima shuriba lahu. Yani that the water of Zamzam is for whatever it is drank for. Yani it is good for whatever a person drinks it for. And this narration is reported by Ibn Majah and other than him, and some of the scholars, yani the Ahlul Ilm, said that it is Hasan, and some of them said that it is Sahih, and some said otherwise, and Shaykh Al-Albani mentions it in some detail. He mentions it in some detail, the discussion concerning this. Ma'u Zamzam liman shuriba lahu, yani it is for whatever it is drank for. Na'am. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he poured it over his head. And he also carried it, yani mean carried it back to Medina, yani to be used later or to share with others. So it is a blessed water. ليس على وجه الأرض ماء أتيب ولا أنفع أو أتيب ولا أنفع ولا أبرك منه. And there is no water on the face of the earth that is purer than it, or more beneficial than it, or more blessed than it. Then, after this, أصبح السعي بين الصفر والمروة شعيرة من شعائر الله وطاعة من طاعات العظام على إثر قيام هذه المرأة الصالحة المؤمنة. And then after this, يعني this يعني experience of Hajar and her being left there by Ibrahim and going back and forth between the mountains of Safra and Marwa, and Allah causing the water to come up from there, it's this blessed water that is good for whatever it is drank for, yani for nourishment, for healing, and so on. After this, this act of going back and forth between the mountain of Safra and Marwa became a right from the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his deen of worship, an act of obedience to Allah, great act of obedience from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a result of this believing righteous woman, Hajar. Such that the prophets of Allah, alayhim salawatullah wa salamuhu, such that the prophets of Allah, كانوا يسعون في ذلك المكان على إثر تقرر وسير هاجر فيها إلى أن يسر الله لها الماء. And this, يعني, led to even the prophets of Allah making sa'i in this place as a result of the repetition and the going back and forth of Hajar in this place until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala facilitated her to find water, yani from the water of Zamzam coming up from the earth. And this is indeed, yani also a great reminder of the conditions of the prophets and messengers and how they, yani, followed in the footsteps, taking as a right of worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala this experience that this believing righteous woman experienced, yani, with, yani, after being left there by Ibrahim alayhi salam. The fourth point the Shaykh mentions, looking at the time, if a person goes to Arafat, or when a person goes to Arafat, and here this is also a reminder, yani the Shaykh said this is also a reminder of Ibrahim, when a person goes to Arafat, and it has been mentioned in the hadith that the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said to his companions, كونوا على مشاعركم فإنكم على إرث من إرث أبيكم إبراهيم عليه السلام. Hadith reported by Tirmidhi and Nasai, and Shaykh Al-Albani said that it is sahih. يعني to put the hadith in its context, يعني the narrator of the hadith said that a man named Ibn Marbi' al-Ansari, he came to us while we were standing, yani wa nahnu wuqufun, yani bil mawqif makanan yuba'iduhu amrun, faqala inni rasulu rasulillahi ilaykum yaqulu kunu ala masha'irikum. Yani that he said that we were standing, yani on Arafat, in a place that Amr, one of the people with him, said he considered it to be far, yani meaning he was far away from where the place where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was at. He's on Arafat, but he's distant from the place from where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is standing. He considered him to be like, we are too far away. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent this man Al-Ansari to them to tell them that I am a messenger from the Messenger of Allah to you, saying to you, kunu ala masha'irikum. Yani, stay in your places. In your places, meaning your mawqif in Arafat, wherever you are on Arafat. Stay where you are. Yani, this place that you are in is a place of worship. The whole of Arafat is the place of standing. So the Prophet ﷺ is telling them that you are good. Remain where you are in your place, ala masha'irikum, your place of worship on Arafat. فَإِنَّكُمْ عَلَىٰ إِرْثٍ مِنْ إِرْثِ أَبِيكُمْ إِبْرَاهِيمُ. For indeed, you are upon, yani you are within, you are in accordance with, yani something that has been inherited from your father Ibrahim. That is, where you are standing on Arafat, the whole of Arafat, wherever you are on Arafat, then you are in accordance with the sunnah of Ibrahim. Of Ibrahim, that which he left behind, that is the standing in Arafat. Standing in Arafat, naam. Here, the Shaykh, he says, wal anbiya, يعني the Anbiya, يعني he said in this hadith, he said what? فَإِنَّكُمْ عَلَىٰ إِرْثٍ, يعني an inheritance, مِنْ إِرْثِ أَبِيكُمْ إِبْرَهِيمْ, from that which your father Ibrahim has left behind. He said, indeed, يعني the prophets, they did not leave back dinar وَدِرْحَمًا, يعني gold coins and silver coins, but rather what they leave behind as inheritance is the deen of Allah. And the Prophet ﷺ said, in a hadith as reported by Al-Tirmidhi and Shaykh Al-Albani in Silsila Hadith Al-Sahiyah, said that it's Hassan. He said, خَيْرُ الدُّعَاءِ خَيْرُ الدُّعَاءِ دُعَاءُ يَوْمِ عَرَفَةَ خَيْرُ الدُّعَاءِ, يعني the best of all supplications is the supplication on the day of Arafah. وَخَيْرُ مَا قُلْتُ أَنَا وَالنَّبِيُّونَ مِنْ قَبْلِي, and the best of what I have said and the best of what the prophets before me have said, yani in this place at this time and in general is la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la lahu mulku wa lahu alhamdu wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. Yani the best supplication is the supplication of the day of Arafat, and the best of what I and the prophets before me have said is la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la lahu mulku wa lahu alhamdu وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ, that there is nothing which deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and He has no partners, and to Him is the sovereignty, and for Him is the praise, and He has power over everything. And again, we said this hadith, and he is narrated by At-Tirmidhi, and Shaykh Al-Albani said that it's Hassan. After this, the fifth point the Shaykh mentions, وَإِذَا رَمَيْتَ الْجِمَارِ, yani when a person stones the stone pillars, this reminds you of the origin of this stoning. Where does it come from? What is its foundation? And then he narrates from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, which he attributes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as being marfu'un, that when Ibrahim came, Ibrahim the Khalil of Allah, إِذَا وَلَمَّا لَمَّا أَتَى إِبْرَاهِيمُ خَلِيلُ اللَّهِ الْمَنَاسِكَ, يعني the place of, يعني of the nusuk, of the worship, يعني, and he's talking about here about Arafah. لَمَّا أَتَى إِبْرَاهِيمُ, oh, I'm sorry, he's talking about يعني مزدالفة, or stoning. Stoning is in Mina, نعم. إذا رميت الجمار, نعم. When a person is throwing the stones, what is the origin of this? He said, يعني it's narrative of Ibn Abbas, attributed to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, when Ibrahim Khalil Allah came to perform some rites of the Hajj, and that is, these rites he's talking about here is the stoning of the Jamara. عرض له الشيطان عند جمرة العقبة. Then Shaytan appeared to him, confronted him, at the big pillar, Jamrat al-Aqaba, رَمَاهُ بِسَبْعَ حَسَيَاتِ حَتَّى سَاقَ فِي الْأَرْضِ, then Ibrahim stoned him with seven stones until he sank into the earth. Then he appeared to him again at the second Jamrah, and he stoned him with seven stones until he sunk into the earth. And then he appeared to him at the third Jamrah, and he stoned him with seven stones until he sunk into the earth. And this is reported by Al-Hakim in his Mustadrak, and he said that it's Sahih, and Al-Imam Al-Zahabi also agreed with him, and Shaykh Al-Albani mentions it in Sahih Al-Targhib wa Al-Tarhib. So this stoning, yani its origin is with the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, and it remained as an act, a great act and a manifestation of worship that the believers continue to perform in their Hajj to the house of Allah Azza wa Jalla, إِقَامَةً لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى, yani as a means of establishing the remembrance of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Yani remained as a means of establishing the remembrance of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Some of the scholars said that the stoning of the Jamarat has a wisdom, and its wisdom is the establishment of the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as it came in the hadith of Aisha that we mentioned previously, radiallahu anha, إِنَّمَا جُعِلَ التَّوَافِ بِالْبَيْتِ وَبِالصَّفَ وَالْمَرْوَةِ وَرَمْيَ الْجِمَاءِ لِإِقَامَةِ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ, that indeed the circumambulation of the house and going between Safa and Marwa and the stoning of the stone pillars, it has been legislated لِإِقَامَةِ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ, for the establishment of the remembrance of Allah. And we say here, and so therefore, yani this stoning is a means of the exaltation and glorification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the tongue and by the heart. Not just throwing stones, but also the saying Allahu Akbar at the time of throwing the stones, and that which is in the heart. yani, that comes from the heart of the believer in performing these acts of worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's all for what? The glorification and exaltation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a note that's not in the book. I'm just saying this as a note that it's not in the book. As far as that which is known amongst the people today, that this stoning is the stoning of the shayateen, فَهَذِهِ يَعْنِي هَذَا لَا أَصْلُ لَهُ. This has no origin whatsoever. These are not shayateen, rather these are just stone pillars. And its purpose, yani the purpose of this act, is the to establish the remembrance of Allah, the glorification and exaltation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the last point that the Shaykh mentions concerning the places in Hajj that should remind us, is the sacrifice, yani the making of the sacrifice of sacrificial animals. This also should remind us of the amazing, magnificent of and the amazing and magnificent story that is at the time when Ibrahim al-Khalil alayhi salam saw in a dream that he was going to sacrifice his son Ismail alayhi salam, and then he consulted him about this, and this is mentioned in Surah Al-Safat, 37th Surah, 102nd and 103rd Ayat. Yani, and the Shaykh just quotes one part of it. Qala, yani, the son Ismail, when his father told him that I saw this in a dream, and he consulted him, what do you think about this? He said, yani, Ismail alayhi salam, qala ya abati, if'al ma tu'mar, satajiduni insha'Allah min as-sabirin. He said, oh my father, do what you have been commanded, and you will find me insha'Allah, insha'Allah. Notice he said what? He had the intent, the resolve, but he said, you will find me, insha'Allah, yani of those who will be patient. Yani patient with what? With his life being taken. Subhanallah. So when he laid him down on his face, yani to slaughter him, he came with his son, brought the knife, and he put the knife to his neck. Yani they both surrendered, he and his son, to the command of Allah. Then Allah ransomed him with a great ram. What a tremendous story. Yani when a person is performing Hajj and they're required to make a sacrifice, and some people are trying to get out of it to save the money they don't want to spend, think of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Ibrahim alayhi salam, and equally so how his son surrendered and submitted and said, indeed you will find me if Allah wills, patient. All of these actions that he has mentioned here, the Shaykh says, reminds us of the prophets. And therefore the pilgrim should come out of Hajj or return from Hajj with a sweet smelling fragrance, yani figuratively, yani feeling good, and a beautiful reminder that ties them to the choices of the creation, yani the prophets of Allah and His messengers, those who were the best of the worshippers of Allah, and the most excellent of them, absolutely, without any exception. A person should come out of here, yani feeling that he is traveling on their way, the way of the prophets and messengers, and that he is adhering to their manhaj, their methodology, their method of worshipping Allah, alayhim salawatullah wa salamu ajma'in. May the salat and salam of Allah be upon all of them, and those who follow them with ihsan, yani the prophets and those who follow them. Yani a person should come out of here feeling what? That they are following the way of the prophets and messengers, and that they are adhering to the minhaj of the prophets and messengers of Allah. And for this reason, it is incumbent upon you to praise Allah Azza wa Jalla, and that He has made you inheritors of the prophets. Yani, traveling upon their way, traveling upon their path, adhering to, yani, taking as an example, adhering to that which they left behind for us. And this is from the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His bounty upon you, that He has made an abd. He has made the abd be increased in care bihadha sabil wa suluk hadha al-minhaj, that a person yani has an increase in concern and care, and yani that they sticking to this path and traveling upon this way of the prophets and messengers. They should be increased in this, especially the maqam of tawheed, especially the affair, the matter of tawheed and the i'tiqad, the beliefs and the ikhlas, sincerity for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we find in the example of the prophets and messengers who preceded us in these things. And our Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام he said الأنبياء إخوة لعلات أمهاتهم شتى ودينهم واحد. Reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim that the prophets and messengers are brothers, يعني brothers, يعني who have the same father but different mothers. He said their mothers are many, but their deen, is what they are united upon. The thing that they have in common is their deen is one. This means that their aqidah is one aqidah, even though their legislations, their laws, might differ in some ways. So the abd, the worshipper, should give care to this, yani, correct and upright aqidah, this tawheed, this pure tawheed, which is the methodology of the prophets, and it is the foundation of the da'wah of the messengers. There's only a few minutes remaining, and there's one more goal or objective that we wanted to cover today. I don't know if we can cover it, but we'll try to cover as much of it as possible. Al-Maqsad al-Tasiya, yani ta'amik al-ittiba li Rasulillah, yani deepening one's following or adherence to the Messenger of Allah, that is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From the objectives and the great goals and objectives of Hajj is deepening, yani making deep-rooted one's adherence to the Sunnah, to the example, to the way of the Messenger of Allah, salawatullah wa salamu alayhi. And for this reason, you find that the pilgrim is very, very eager in their Hajj to make sure that every deed that they do is in agreement with the Sunnah. Not every pilgrim, but many people, even who are lax in other areas, when they go to Hajj, they give great care to try to make sure that they're doing it correctly. Most people expect that they may never go again, right? Once in a lifetime. So people have care that everything that they do is in accordance with the Sunnah. And they're asking the scholars a lot of questions. If I did such and such and so on, so is there any harm in it? If I did, is this action that I'm doing correct? Is it in agreement with the Sunnah? You find the people having great eagerness and diligence from the pilgrim that to make sure that their acts during the Hajj are in agreement with the Sunnah. And all of us know the statement of our Prophet salawatullah wa salamu alayhi in the hadith of Jabir and Sahih Muslim, لِتَأْخُذُ عَنِّي مَنَاسِكَكُمْ, then you must take your rights of Hajj from me. This hadith reported by Imam Muslim. And it is also, and he also, alayhi salatu wasalam, said in Hajj, في حجه يعني I'm sorry قال ذلك he's saying that he said this يعني during his Hajj. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this during Hajj, take the rights of Hajj from me. So you find the pilgrim being very eager in the matters of al-ma'murat, the things that you have been commanded with, that he does them, that he performs them completely and fully, all that he has been commanded. And you find them very eager in the affair of the mahdhurat, the things that we have been prohibited from, that he abandons them and distances himself from them completely. And you find the pilgrim asking bidikka wa yataharra bisidq, and he asking fine points to make sure that everything that they're doing right, and yani making every effort yani truthfully to make sure that their actions are in agreement with the guidance of the noble Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam. So look at that tremendous word, Al-Kalima Al-Azima, which was spoken by Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu at the time when he was kissing the black stone. And he said, Inni a'lamu annaka hajrun. He said, indeed I know. He's kissing the black stone. And he said out loud, indeed I know that you are no more than a stone. La tadur wa la tanfa. You are not able to harm nor benefit. Allah is the only one who harms or benefits. I know that you're only a stone. This is tawheed, that you don't harm or benefit. وَلَوْلَا أَنِّي رَأَيْتُ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يُقَبِّلُكَ مَا قَبِلْتُكَ. But look at what he said, and if it were not that I had seen the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم kissing you, I would never have kissed you. Huh? You're only a stone. You can't benefit or harm. But only because I saw the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم doing this, and we stick to the example of our Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. It is also reported from Ya'la ibn Umayyah radiallahu anhu, he said, I was making tawaf with Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, and he touched the corner, and he meaning the black stone. Ya'la said, I was closer to the house, to the Kaaba. So when we reached the west corner, the next corner that follows the black stone, I pulled his hand, the hand of Umar, for him to touch that one also. And he said, Masha'anuka, what's with you? What are you doing? And I said, will you not touch it, this one? Yani, will you not touch it? And he said, didn't you make tawaf with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? I said, indeed I did. He said, did you see him touching these two western corners? Meaning the corner after the black stone and the corner after that. Did you see him touching them? I said, no. He said, أَفَلَيْسَ لَكَ فِيهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Do you not have then an excellent example to be followed in the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And then I said, indeed. And he said, فَانْفُذْ عَنْكَ. Meaning, then do not do anything of actions except that it is in agreement with the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And for this reason, فَمِنْ الْمَقَاصِدَ الْعَظِيمَ وَالْفَائِدَ الْجَلِيلَةِ. So from the great Yani goals of Hajj and the tremendous lofty benefits of Hajj that the Muslim will benefit during their Hajj and يَحْرِسَ فِي حَيَاتِهِ كُلِّهَا أَن تَكُونَ عِبَادَتُهُ كُلُّهَا وَفْقَ شَرْعِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. Yani from the great benefits that a person will get from the Hajj is that they became diligent and eager in the whole of their life. Yani after Hajj, they will not be the same again. They will be eager in the whole of their life that all of their acts of worship will be in agreement with the legislation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that person will say to themselves, just as I was in Hajj, when I went to pilgrimage to the house of Allah, diligent, eagerly seeking the sunnah and asking about it and trying to make sure that it is that everything that I do is in agreement with the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, just like I was in Hajj, so likewise I will be in every act of worship that I do. All of it, in every act of worship, of obedience that I do, and every act of worship that I do, all of them, I will seek out the sunnah. Yani he will seek out the sunnah in his salat, in his prayer, in his fasting, in every act of worship that he does, seeking nearness to Allah Azza wa Jalla. And he will take caution, ashadd al-hadr, yani severe caution, from al-ahwa, following desires, wal-bid'ah, and innovations, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not sent down any authority for them. And even though some people, they have been raised in societies where the bid'ah is wide, is plentiful, and they became accustomed to it, لكن عليه أن يستفيد من حجه. But it is incumbent for that person to benefit from the Hajj, to take the example from the Hajj. And just like that person, when they were in Hajj, they were taking precautions from falling into innovations, and they were eager in following the sunnah, so likewise that person must be eager in every one of his acts of worship, so that from the fruits of his Hajj is that that person will stick to the guidance of the noble Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that they will be in agreement with his upright minhaj alayhi salatu wasalam, and he will be warned from innovation of all types.